Well, this morning I want to talk to you about, well, I guess like Peter said in his letter, I want to stir you up in a very simple, basic way for a very, very beautiful, basic reason. And my basis for this is in Galatians, the epistle of Galatians. I love this particular epistle of Paul. It is the one that Paul wrote long into his ministry. None of these letters that Paul wrote that we have recorded in the Bible were written early. This one we know was no less than 17 years because he gives us an account of the first 17 years of his ministry. He hadn't even written anything, basically, because after 17 years, he tells us that he was actually wondering by that time if he was preaching the right thing. Now, I was kind of surprised at this, maybe, because Paul had a direct personal revelation from Jesus Christ himself. If I would come up here, I was Jesus and this is Paul, and I would explain to Paul the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in this book, it's actually on verse 12 of chapter 1, he says, "This revelation I did not come from man, nor was I taught it of man, but I received the revelation from Jesus himself." Now, that's an awesome thing, folks. You know, I'm up here telling you about Jesus. Jim comes up and tells you about Jesus. You tell each other about Jesus and so on. That's from a man. That, you know, is okay, and we appreciate that. But I tell you what, it doesn't give us the anchor we need, because our real anchor for our beliefs in life have to be the Word of God. I mean, we want to listen to people. The Bible says we need to test that, though. When somebody tells us about God, about what we believe and don't believe, we got to check it out with this, because may be off. But Paul heard it directly from Revelation, from Jesus Christ. And then he says later on, he says, "I went back, after 17 years, I went back to Jerusalem to talk to the original apostles and James, the brother of Jesus, to see if I had been wrong." When I realized that, I thought, wow. Jesus himself talked to him, revealed it, and now he wants to go back and he wants to check with the apostles to see if he had been wrong. Well, one thing I know that's good, he was submitting to authority. You know, these guys had been with Jesus and so on. But it tells me this, folks, that when we go through life, when we get born again, and we continue on in that lot walk, no matter who we are, there comes times in that life when we wonder, am I believing the right thing? Some of us may ask, am I born again? I mean, I remember, how was it, how many years ago? Or I remember, you know, is there really a heaven? Is there really a life after, you know, all these basic questions. Paul must have been wondering that same too, because what was his message? And that's what I want you to again agree with, stir yourselves up with, and to affirm in your lives, yes, this is what I believe, and this is what it's all about. Because Paul had to do it, we have to do it. The apostles, they all got together, and they all, with the Holy Spirit, they didn't have this, folks. They didn't have this. They had the Old Testament, but they probably didn't have it in a book form back in the temple. And so they had to come together with what they had believed in their hearts. They had to believe what the Holy Spirit was, you know, talking to them about. And so it's not like us today. Praise God, I'm so glad that God wrote this down for us. We can check it out right in here. Now, Pastor Gill, when he was here Sunday morning, he said such and such. I'm going to find out if he really was right. I'll look through. Praise God. If you want to do that, I encourage you. I encourage you to do that. Never listen to somebody like a little bird sitting in his nest waiting for mommy and daddy to come with all these things, and one day they bring a stick, but he doesn't make any difference. He takes the stick too. No. God, praise God, doesn't give sticks. He gives good worms. But I want you to check things out, okay? Check it out. Well, what is it then? Okay, let's read in the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through a man, but through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ personally called him. And God the Father, in agreement, who raised Jesus from the dead. And then all the brethren that are with me, I'm writing to you, the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And then immediately he gets into the point of his letter. He says, I marvel. I marvel. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. It's almost beyond my belief. It's almost incomprehensible. I almost can't believe it. What? That you have so suddenly turned away from the gospel, from the message I preached to you. Wow. Now when you think about that, folks, Paul was writing to this, it wasn't one church, it was all these churches in the province we might call Galatia. And there were different ones there, different places, different cities and so on. And he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Wow. That was real serious to Paul, wasn't it? It's really serious words. These were people, for instance, that if I had, as Jim said this morning, that let's say he was in our church for how many years and we preached to him the gospel, and then he comes out here to Andover, and he sends a tape back, and this tape is not what I have believed or taught Jim, let's say, from the Word, that is the good news of Jesus Christ. He's gotten off on a tangent. He's gotten off of what we really, you know, as Christians believe. And I'd write back and I'd say, Jim, good delivery, very clear, but you made these points, and could you show me in the Bible where you have supported those points? Because I really need to know, I'll give him a chance. And then he writes back. And so we start communicating back and forth because I have a concern that I really believe, as Paul did, let's say, about the Galatians, why are you now believing a different gospel which I did not share with you? But he goes on and says, which is not another. There is no other gospel. There is no other good news. There is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ, really. And he says, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort, to pervert the real gospel. That's a good warning for us. Paul told these people the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And here they are, as Paul says, so soon turning away from that message to something else that is not the good news. And if that's true for the people in Galatia, then what? It's possible for us. We always have to be on guard because the adversary, who? The devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from us. And so, and he works very subtly, doesn't he? He works to build in fine steps to try to convince us to do something, believe something different. He doesn't come with you with a big old 20 by 20 screen and said, here, believe this, here, do this. He tries most of it in our thought life. Most of that is there. And then he goes on, and this is really interesting. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's strong words. Now, he's not saying to those people that are hearing him, he's saying, if somebody comes into your congregation or into your town and teaches you something contrary to the gospel, let him be accursed. He's not saying you, see? Let him be accursed. Why? Because he's trying to lead you to be cursed in your life, away from Jesus to another gospel, which there isn't. And then listen here. This is what is powerful, because he goes on in verse 9. As I have just said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I thought he just said that. He did. Now, when somebody, including yourself, you say something more than once, you are trying to convey that I mean business. You know, if kids are doing something, you say one thing, and then they just continue doing it. You say, didn't I say? I said it once. Did I have to say it twice? Well, I don't know how you talk to your kids or how people talk to the kids, but that's what Paul is saying here. If, let him be double cursed. That's powerful words, folks. That means, you know, Paul says, I'm not putting up with anything that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will not do it, he says. And then the next page, the next chapter, he talks about that. He says, I don't care what man thinks. I am not here to please man. I am here to please God, whom I am a bondservant to. Strong words, folks. Paul never was concerned about popularity. He was not concerned about what you think, you know. It did bother him. He was a human being. He had feelings like you and I do. But when it came down to it, when you had to draw the line, then no, it's God and that's it. You see, don't ever think you won't have feelings of, as Paul even did many times. You know, he nervous about the churches. All the things he went through. Hey, folks, he was a human being. It was tough. And after 17 years of going out there and preaching by himself pretty well, having never conferred to anybody else, he came back to Jerusalem and asked, am I on the right track? And if you look at chapter 2, verse 3, it says his result. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. You see, that was the big issue of the day. Here were people who had come to Galatia and they were trying to convince them that, yes, it was good that you became Christians. Good to know you. I'm your brother. I'm from Jerusalem. I'm brother so-and-so and your brother so-and-so, Kenny, and your sister so-and-so on and so on. But did Paul, he probably didn't. We're sure that Paul probably didn't teach you this. But what really, you know, it's correct to get born again, but folks, what's really necessary is you must, you know, be circumcised. And you must start following the laws of the Jewish faith. You really must, you know. Praise God you became a Christian. Yes, that's first and foremost. But you also, to really, really be a good Christian, you must start also to follow the Jewish laws. But when Paul came back and he said, guys, am I correct in what I'm saying? You know, and they said, yes. And Titus, who was a Gentile, came back with him. They didn't even say he was a Christian. He was a part of the body. He said, you don't even have to be. He doesn't have to be. Nobody has to be. And I tell you what, because that was the issue of the day, it was so good for Paul to hear that. It was like saying, Jim, I've heard you. I've seen you. I've seen this. You're right on, man. Keep going. And that's important for us to hear in our individual lives as well. And so what happened then? What happened to these people from Galatia? Why does Paul say to them, I marvel, so soon you have almost like abandoned the what I taught you? What happened? Has it ever happened to you? It happened to us. To Emily and myself, when we became Christians some umpteen years ago, it happened to us. When we first were Christians, I hope maybe you can identify with, I don't know. But when we were first Christians, we were around 30 years old. And, I mean, it was kind of like we were by ourselves. We had met some people who had become Christians, and they maintained a relationship with us before they were Christians. And then they became Christians, and then they really got to maintain a relationship with us. They come, and they come, and they come. And I always thought they talked too much about Jesus personally. I really do. And I tell Emily, don't invite him back, but I was hoping she would. And, of course, they always came, and no matter if we invited them or not, and somehow we always got around to Jesus, talking about Jesus. You know, back then, before I was a Christian, I thought it was sports, politics, and weather. And you got off on anything. And believe it or not, do you want to believe this or not? You won't believe this, will they, Jim? I was a Lutheran pastor at the time. Yeah, I'd gone through 4 years of seminary. And I was ticked off when these people came and talked about Jesus. Did that tell you anything about what I believed? No, it couldn't be. Yeah. No, it was true. It was true. But finally we did one day. We became Christians. We had left the Lutheran church. We were so, well, that's a long story. And then these people came and witnessed to us. They told us about Jesus. Emily became a Christian first, and boy, did I test her. I want to make sure it was real, you know. I did everything the old Gil did, I mean, to try to test it, and she passed with flying colors. God's grace was working in her already. His ability, the Holy Spirit, was already working in her to be able to still confront me and put up with me as I was trying to convince her that it wasn't real. It wasn't real. Then I became, and we just kind of like, you know, I mean, really, folks, we were so happy. We were so full of joy because of all of our past was, you know, forgiven. I don't know. We received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence and praying in tongues. In our lives, we had tremendous healings. Our son was dying of allergies before we got born again. Then we went to a specialist. We believed in doctors and hospitals and all that. We believe in anything to get you well. But the specialist says, I can't do anything for him. He's getting worse. In other words, it would just be a spiral. Well, one day she brought him home from the specialist, and he said he can't do anything more with him. And so she said to me, well, what do I do? Well, I said, I've been reading in this book of the Bible, and I've been reading in this book, it was Bosworth, on healing. And I said, this guy says, and this says in here, that we can, you know, receive healing. I mean, folks, I'm out of seminary. I'm 30 years old, and I'm like a little kid reading a book for the first time in my life. I just thought these guys were telling the truth. And I said, looks like we can believe for healing. I mean, well, what'll I do then, Emily said. And I said, well, see, he couldn't eat anything hardly. We couldn't eat wheat, milk, corn. Huh?
Peanuts.
Oh, man, what could he? What could he eat? No, very little. And we were on the same diet. I figured if our son's going through this, we're going to go through this. Man, I tell you, that isn't a very good diet. That almost leaves everything out besides rice. And we ate rice and rice and rice. And so, I had nothing in mind about what I wanted to eat. I said, just feed him what he wants.
That's right.
Feed him what he wants. And boy, she did. And I didn't mind that neither. And he started eating and eating. And then pretty soon that evening, Jeff all of a sudden discovered, well, what's going on here? He said, well, you're healed. You know, we just believe you're healed, and you eat whatever you want now. And that night, he wanted a big bowl of popcorn that he hadn't eaten for a few years. And he ate the whole thing. I mean, that guy went to bed stuffed with everything he wasn't supposed to eat. Well, God healed him. Praise the Lord. He was totally healed. Totally healed. We could tell you more about that, which is a good lesson of learning. But what we're saying is when we first became Christian, Emily was healed of an incurable infection in her body. Our daughter was later married, and just different things. She almost lost her first grandson. It just was tremendous. And we were walking, like I said, a little bit off the ground. We were so thankful, so very thankful, so very, very thankful. Our past sins have been forgiven. What a load it was off our back. Praise God, praise God. What happened then? What happened? Well, the modern day Pharisees came by. And we believe that people who had been born again before we were, we were very naive, we were very innocent perhaps, because we felt that anybody who was truly born again and spirit-filled, they must, and if they've at least been 10 years, you know, longer than we were, they must know a whole lot more, having been Christians for at least 10 years. And so they would come to, they found out that we had done this. We had a foster son living with us. He couldn't read the Bible. And so we thought maybe he had a demon, you know, was oppressing him. So we prayed over him and had a whole list of them. We were going, it was funny. We had a whole list of them that we were quoting. Not a one of them was, we didn't know what it was. But all of a sudden, he had a Bible. He had his own Bible. We had given it to him, but he couldn't read it. But he could read. But he couldn't read the Bible. He could not read the Bible. And all of a sudden like that, he was reading the Bible. And we were resting over here. He's reading the Bible. Yeah, he's been able to read it since, all his life. A whole bunch of other things happened. I was trying to direct it to something. Oh, yeah, the modern-day Pharisees then. And we would praying for people for healings and all these different things. The modern day Pharisees came and said, oh, great, good to see things are happening like this. But by the way, before you prayed over Jim, who's our foster son, did you cover your family and your children and everything with the blood of Jesus? No. Oh, really? You should have. Whew. Next time, do that. You must cover everybody, everything around you with the blood of Jesus. Oh, really? Yes. Okay. You know, I mean, these guys are 10 years older than us in the Lord. They must know what they're talking about, right? No. No, they were wrong. There were other things. Let me see what I wrote down here. Oh, they wanted us to make sure we always confessed our sins before we did anything. You know. But you know, you think about it, we would have been there all night. Then we probably would have forgotten some, and then it wouldn't have worked. Right? But they said, confess your sins, so we'd all sat there, and some of them were quiet sins, you know, to ourselves, but we tried that. And then if we used oil or just laying on of hands, we had to make sure we did those things right. Well, we wanted to be pleasing to God. We wanted to do what was right, not knowing that we were beginning to get off a little bit from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then one time we went to a meeting. We were at a meeting. This quote evangelist was there. And, you know, we went all over the country wanting to hear somebody talk. We went all over the place. And we got to this guy. He was a national figure. And we happened to be able to get there. And we were in there. And I got through the singing and so on. He's preaching. All of a sudden, now we're going to start moving in the Spirit, which I believe there is such a thing. The gifts of the Spirit, we believe in them. But this guy was misusing it. And so we were there. And pretty soon, somebody walked out and said, don't let that person out. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Bring him back. Nobody move. Nobody say a thing. You don't want to grieve the Spirit? Do you want to keep a healing from happening? Somebody being delivered? Don't move. Stay there. You're grieving the Spirit if you get up and move. I said to myself, what have I got to go to the bathroom? Doesn't the Holy Spirit know that? And if I get up, it won't bother him, surely. He knows it. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It was. So we go back to our meetings in our church. Nobody move. Everybody stay. What's gotten over Pastor Gill here? You know, before we could move. Before I could take our daughter to the bathroom. You know, why we can't move now, you know? Does he mean our hands? Or, oh, man, I mean, but I was trying to do everything right. What are some of the things we did? Oh, my, I tell you, I went to this one church. This is before I became pastor again, but we went to this one church. You know, we didn't know what they believed. It's amazing. Oh, well, we didn't know what they believed, and they happened to believe in holiness. Well, I think in holiness, too. I believe it's good. But I didn't know it meant what they meant. One day I came with this new shirt my darling wife had bought to me. Long sleeves, dark blue, with big white dots all over it. The collars, the sleeves, and everywhere. Huh? It was style. It was style, yeah. I mean, it was, I wouldn't wear it today because, you know, not style, you know. But anyway, this one gentleman walks up to me and he says, Gil, isn't that shirt kind of worldly? Worldly. Worldly. I don't know, because I didn't know what worldly meant. Nobody ever talked to me about worldly things. Worldly. Worldly? Did he say woolly? No, he said worldly. Another thing you want to let me know is you don't wear those things as Christians. You don't wear that kind of stuff. Oh, man, I don't know how long it was before. I probably, that shirt never got worn much because I didn't want to, you know, I mean, gosh, I want to be a good Christian. So I had to stop wearing it. We did a lot of wild things. We threw out owls and frogs, and we did a whole lot of things. You know, figurines. Well, I mean, you don't. I mean, hey, I'm showing you this, folks. We were like the Galatians. Slowly but surely, we were getting away from the original gospel. Original gospel. We threw away some beautiful figurines of owls and frogs. But a darling Christian woman we led to the Lord gave to us. Man, I mean, anyway, let's go on. There were many other different things. But I'll tell you what was happening in our lives, we realized, was that It was like a big balloon full of helium, and somebody was letting the air out of our balloon. Excuse me. And we were slowly, slowly sinking back to how we were. Oh, we still stayed born again. We didn't lose our faith. Paul talks about him in here, that you know, you've forsaken, you know, you're like, you're not, you know, unbelievers again, but you have forsaken so much. And we had lost our joy. We did. Praise and worship used to be, you know, and coming to church was like, we met your children this morning. We got into the elevator down there, and all of a sudden these voices, you know, come screaming and hollering into the elevator. And, you know, of course, Christine is a little bit more, you know, expressive. And she was jumping up and down, you know, and they were just excited. They were going to church, I guess, or something was happening this morning. And they were their friends, you know, they know, and so on. Wow, I said, that's the way we were before these guys got us off track. And Emily agreed, didn't you, dear? What had gone? What happened? If Paul would have been there, he said, Gil and Emily, I marvel how soon you've gotten away from the gospel. Oh, my. That was something. Because we had truly been introduced to the gospel. Jesus Christ was very personal to us. He really had, you know, met us one-on-one. We had him healing all four of us of something that the doctors couldn't heal us of. We prayed for other people. We prayed for all that. And you know, and things happened, and people became born again, and we were so excited. We were telling everybody about Jesus until all the different, I'll call them, sorry, the Christian Pharisees of the day came in and started, did you do this? Did you do this and all this? And you should not be doing this. In other words, we had Cowboy Sunday last Sunday. You see, I couldn't have had Cowboy Sunday back then. Because on Cowboy Sunday, we had fun. We all dressed like cowboys. I told a whole bunch of cowboy jokes. We had this 85-year-old cowboy. He is a cowboy. I mean, he grew up on a ranch back then. He got up and told his testimony. And we really enjoyed it. He did a very... first time he's probably spoken about like that in public. He was nervous as a cat, you know, with a dog after him or something like that. He was up like this. He was trying to, you know, reading his notes, and he pulled up. Oh, don't have my glasses on. You know, I wondered why I couldn't see. He thought he had his glasses on. He was so nervous. He'd taken them off. Oh, but I tell you what, as he continued to the people were so blessed. And we had a great time. We had a great time that Sunday. Had fun. And you know, folks, that's okay. Jesus was hilarious to be around. If you understand the some of the things that he says in his ministry, if we understand the culture and the setting, it was hilarious what he was saying and what he was using to tell the truth about something. And you just have to do some studying on that to find out that where Jesus went, joy was there. Joy was there. So, what happened? What happened to us? I think it's just like this GPS I'm using that we have in our car. First one we've ever used. You know what a GPS is, right? You're much younger than we are. Well, we never have used one. But Emily insisted on it because we're coming out to Boston. I said, are there more roads out there or something? Anyway, we got this GPS and we put it in the car. And we, you know, I tried to use it at home for a while, you know, get used to it before we get out to the big cities. And so I found out something about that GPS and reminded me a lot about my relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ. Because I was coming home from the office to go out to the country, and I had it on, and it said, you know, go this way. Well, I knew how to get home, of course. So I went this way. And you know what? Maybe yours didn't do this, but this one does. It remains silent. You don't hear, you're going the wrong, you know, you're going a different way. And eventually, it comes over here to an intersection that says that you can get back to the way they want you to go home. And then it'll say, turn left at the next intersection. I go right on through it. Silence. I go to the next intersection, which I could go left and get to the what they want me to do. Turn left at the next intersection. Silence when I don't do it. I was having fun, you know, because this woman, it's a woman's voice, was talking to me, and I just feel, I'm a little rebellious sometimes, and I didn't want to always, I wanted to see what would happen if I didn't do what she said. Well, you know, she didn't say nothing. But the next time was an opportunity to go back on the road, she says, turn left. And I thought, my, how much that is like God. God is telling us in His Word what to do, how to do it, and where to believe, and all these kind of things. And when we were getting off back then, off the, as Paul says, the gospel, you know, he didn't say anything. He didn't cause accidents to happen. He didn't cause us to get sick. He just remained silent. But every once in a while, something would come along and said, you know, to get back again, you should do this. That was that intersection. You know, then we didn't do it. No, he doesn't do that. He's so kind and gentle with us, patient, loving, compassionate. You come to another opportunity, intersection. He says something else. Somebody else comes. And you kind of like, well, yeah, I guess we could get back away, but I think we'll just continue down this one. And then eventually, though, we wind up on a road that, you know, we decide, well, I think we missed it somewhere. We need to go back to God. And all he says, you're on the road. He says, continue down the road. Doesn't he? Continue down the road you're going now, because you're now on the road that the GPS wanted you, and now you're on the road that God wants you on. You may see the relationship. At least I did. But he's always silent if I would turn and go a different way. At least I didn't hear him. And I thought, wow, how much that is like our relationship with the Father. He so much wants us to stay on the straight and narrow path, which is Jesus. And that's what I'm bringing you to. Jesus is the gospel. Amen. The gospel is so very, very simple. Simple and awesome. And what is that? I'm going to give you some verses. But simply may I introduce it as the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. That God sent His Son into the world, that whosoever would believe in Him might not perish but have eternal life. And that He did this freely before you were born. He died for you. And that if you will believe that He is the Son of God and that He died and He rose again and He died for your sins, and you believe that, then you become one of His sons or daughters. And you then have the destiny of heaven. Now let's read a little bit more what Paul says about that, and that one is in Ephesians. And then we're getting time to close already. It's in Ephesians 2. I know that one by heart, even I can't find my notes. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For we are His workmanship. In other words, He had all to do with it. Created in Christ Jesus. No, excuse me, 8. I'm on 10. 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Nothing. In other words, there's nothing you can do or not do to get saved. You know, like, well, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop eating too much. I'm going to stop watching so much sports. You know, any of those kind of things. No, none of those kind of works. You can't, don't do any good. That's not what, you know, because you see, if that made a difference, then Jesus didn't make a difference. Right. And so we see in verse 9, not of those kind of works, lest you would boast that you did something for Father God to receive you as His child. And you can't do any of those kind of things. I know denominations teach it. I know religion teaches it. But it isn't so, because the Bible says it isn't so. And verse 10 then, he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And what are those? Well, he talks about that. Since we became Christians, we found that something inside of us wanted to do the right thing. And like, for instance, what is a good work? I'll tell you what a good work is that we just did. We came out here. It came out here to share the good news with you. What was a good work you did this morning? You came to church because you wanted to hear that and you wanted to support somebody else that was here. I mean, just simple little things, or doing a kind deed for a neighbor, or doing something nobody even knows you did it. There's so many good works you do, but none of those you realize have anything to do with your salvation. It's just a reflection of your salvation, a reflection of your decision. That's the good works. And so he goes on, that God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before the foundation of the world was, God had prepared good works for each one of us to do on earth in his behalf. And there's so much opportunity for that. Let's go then to, and I'm closing here, Colossians 1. What I'm going to show you is the gospel, which is God did everything, folks. We couldn't do a thing to get saved. That's saving grace. You didn't do anything but receive. I know I try to be a good boy and all that kind of stuff, even during all those years, but it didn't do any good. God still didn't receive me. Okay, in Colossians 1, 12 to 14, this is what happened. Excuse me. We give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, God's kingdom. 13, God has delivered us from the power of darkness which we were in before. This is Colossians 1, 13. And he transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Who's doing it, folks? God's doing it. And in verse 14, how did this all come about? Well, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see there? Study those scriptures there. All it says this, my friends, God did everything, and then we come along and hear about it and decide if we want to receive that freely. Folks, freely. Freely. We must get into our minds that God saved us freely. God did it all. Now here we are after salvation, after we've been born again. Now what do we have to do? And you see, this is where people get into trouble. Now they think they got to do it on their own self-discipline. They got to fast more. You got to pray more. One of our members in our congregation said it well when we were studying this. What are some of the things we get into? Well, she said, if we have a long prayer vigil and then we add fasting to it, we should really get things done. She realized through her life how that was nothing but a religious garp. Whatever that is. Do you understand, folks? Yep. Does that mean you're not supposed to pray? Of course not. But if you think that you now can move God by what you do or don't do, you're way off the track from the original gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to go out. Paul went out. How did he go out? In the power of his might. How did he go out? In the joy of his strength. How did he go out? God called him. God supplied. And that's why we studied last night. Paul, through that all, realized all the things he went through, that through Christ, he can do all things. And so whatever we do in life, when we get a job, when we get whatever it might be, folks, we, please, don't take personal credit for it, except that you say what? Jesus supplied it. And I thank him for even sustaining Jim while he was believing. Do you understand that? When you're waiting for the event to happen, Jesus is in you in the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling you to stand by until what you believe for comes. You can't do it on yourself. You fail. But when you realize just like you can't save yourself, you can't keep yourself going in life, you cannot do any of these things, and that's why you always go back to His grace. And I just read to you, God said, I did it all. But somehow the devil comes in, or somehow our flesh comes in, and we want to add things. Okay, we need more people in church, so let's pray harder. Let's fast harder. Why? 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 Well, won't that make people come? Won't that make God do something? Won't we have a revival? Well, I sure wish that would be it. We should have been having revivals a long time ago, because I spent a lot of time praying for that purpose. I still pray, folks. I pray probably more than I ever prayed, but I tell you, I do it with joy. I do it with anticipation. I do it. I just thoroughly enjoy it. I sing a lot in myself. I thoroughly enjoy it. Why am I doing it? I'm just celebrating life. I'm celebrating the grace of God. I'm just walking on from day to day, and what God has planned and what He's bringing me to and how He's going to do it. You know, praise God. And so when I get into praise and worship, first of all, it's just because He's worthy of it. But then there's three reasons I add on to that. I praise Him for what He's done. I praise Him for what He's doing. And I praise Him for what He's going to do. You didn't notice? I said, He is going to do. So meanwhile, what does He say to me to do? What we learned last night. To be content. That helps, you see. When I know, really, the truth is, I can't do it. But I can do it through Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ does it through me, is better said. So why, as Jesus says, you who can't add a hair breadth to your height by being worrying, by being anxious. I know some short people who would love to be able to do that. You know, I tell them, well, you can try to stretch or wear higher heels, but that's about the only way. They can't. You can't. I can tell them, go home and worry 12 hours and come back and we'll see if you're taller. Well, Jesus says, and everybody, see, that's one of the funny things about Jesus' humor. Everybody would say, Jesus, you can't do that. Ah, you caught it, huh? Okay. I hope I just have stirred you up today to, you know, to go back. Because every one of us has to watch ourselves and go back. I really will say this, daily. Because it's so easy all of a sudden to get off and you start thinking this. Or you get off over here and you might have be. Maybe you're believing for healing or whatever it might be. And pretty soon you think, well, maybe we need to, you know, read the word more. Yep. How much more? Well, depends upon how serious it is. According to this, the tables, if you have a cold and it is, you must pray and fast and read the Bible for 2 hours. But now if it gets a little bit serious and it goes down into your chest, then we add a little bit more time of prayer, fasting, and meditating the Word. I am not mocking prayer, meditating the Word, or fasting. You do that all the time if you want to. Why? To discipline this crazy body I'm living in. It gets out of hand once in a while. But I've never found fasting and prayer to move God. I have found faith and love and compassion and mercy that moves God. And so be encouraged.